Good evening. It's good to see everybody this evening. I told Mike to quit telling people that I'm up to preach. Like we're scaring people away. No, I think it's always good to be able to bring the message, bring the Word of God to you. This evening, we'll be discussing taming the tongue. And of course, we all know where that's going to be based at in James. James chapter 3. And we're going to look at a few verses this evening. And this, while you're turning there, James chapter 3, we're going to cover verses 5 through 10 there. And we may bite off more than we can chew, but that's, taming the tongue. Taming the tongue. In this lesson, we're going to see how we control what comes out of our mouth. We do have that control. And then also, we're going to see that our words also reveal our character of who we are. So many times, our mouth can get us in a lot of trouble, and we know that. So let's go ahead in James chapter 3, and we'll go ahead and read the verses 5 through 10. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire? And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Like I said earlier, so many times our mouth can get us in a lot of trouble. The tongue is a strong part of our body, but we can do good with it and we can do bad with it. Most people believe the tongue is our biggest problem. Well, I believe it starts with our mind. Do we have good thoughts? Our thoughts can turn into words, and that's not always a good thing. We can get angry with people, but it makes us feel a certain way toward that person, and that's definitely not healthy for us as Christians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible reads, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." How often do we have worldly thoughts? Well, probably more often than we should. if our minds have evil thoughts, these thoughts can turn into actions or words. Point number one this evening, the tongue is a small part of the body. And this deals with verse 5 there in chapter 3 of James. Even the tongue, it's a small part, but it can do some damage. It can cut people to the heart. Sometimes we don't think that we can hurt someone with what we say, but we can. It's in our tone, our facial expressions, and our words. The only thing that we can boast about is by being in the Lord, by being found in Jesus. We can boast about that. We can tell people about that. That's something to be joyful about each and every day. We should be thankful that God has provided salvation for all of us through His Son Jesus, who died on the cross for us. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That's a promise for each and every one of us. If we are in Christ, we have hope of eternal life. If we are outside of Christ, there is no hope. Our tongues, one thing that our tongues can do, our tongues can lie. We know about this because Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira, in Acts chapter 5, they kept back money instead of telling the truth of what they had. In Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. The Bible reads, "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. Verse 5, and as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came over all who heard of it. And then Sapphira, we know that she had a chance to tell the truth, but she chose to lie as well. In Acts chapter 5 there, if we go down to verse 8, the Bible reads, and Peter responded to her, tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Their choice to lie cost them both their life. You know, we have to know that God keeps his promises, and we can't lie because he already knows the truth. We make choices daily to tell the truth about things we know and can share. We know that the gospel is the truth, and we must share the gospel with those that we come in contact with. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, the Bible reads, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When we present the gospel to someone, they have a choice to obey it or not. All we can do is plant seeds. We all remember what Saul or Paul did before he obeyed the gospel. You know, he wasn't proud of the life he used to have because he persecuted the church. He persecuted the church. You know, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, Saul was in hearty agreement with putting to death Stephen. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Saul agreed to put Stephen to death, and because he was preaching the gospel. He agreed to this. You know, at that time, they persecuted anyone who was preaching the gospel, even putting them to death as they did Stephen. Not everyone will accept the gospel. The day at Pentecost, about 3,000 souls were added that day. But there were those who walked away from the gospel that day as well. We understand that. Point number two this evening comes out of James chapter 3 and verse 6. James chapter 3 and verse 6. The tongue is a fire. What do we know about fire? Well, we can get too close, or we can get burned. Fire can spread fast. We know that. Fire can spread fast. Fire is hard to contain sometimes. We were always told as children not to play with fire. You know, we were always told that. The tongue is described as a fire. It paints a picture of how strong our tongues are. What we say can affect those around us in a negative or a positive way. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 7, the Bible reads, a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. This world has enough negativity without us being negative with each other and those we surround ourselves with. You know, we can squash our bad thoughts with kindness or kind words. There are those times we get mad and fly off at the handle. It's never good to deal with things when we are mad. You know, we need to deal with things rationally. In James chapter 1 and verse 19, the Bible reads, actually verses 19 and 20, the Bible reads, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. You know, we need to do more listening than speaking, than talking. And then in verse 20, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. You know, we want to practice righteousness in this lifetime so we can attain heaven. We want to be righteous before God. We know that fire can get out of control. We know that fire can get out of control, and that's how our speech can be if we aren't careful. We need to be careful with our speech. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. The Bible reads, "Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity." You know, this is easier said than done. But we must learn to talk things out if we can reach an agreement on things. We must learn self-control so we can be better examples to those around us. You know, Satan wants us to say bad things and hurt others' feelings. God wants us to, in our speech, to be seasoned. He wants our speech to be seasoned with salt. Our speech should be seasoned with salt. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible reads, Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Point number 3 this evening comes out of James chapter 3 and verse 7. You know, even the beasts and the birds, the reptiles and the creatures of the sea, they can be tamed. They can be tamed. You know, these things can be tamed. You know, we have all sorts of animals that can be tamed by humans. But humans have a hard time taming the tongue. You know, it can take a while to tame these animals and these creatures, but they learn from their master. If they mess up, it's because the master didn't teach them right. Certain people work with animals and they work with them daily. You know, it's a daily struggle with the tongue. The tongue is the same way. It's a daily struggle. It takes time to work on it. You know, I don't think we will ever be perfect in our speech, but we must try our very best to please God and not ourselves. We know that God gets angry. He was angry at man for their wickedness. In Genesis chapter 6 and verses 5 and 6, Genesis chapter 6 verses 5 and 6, the Bible reads, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." He was grieved in his heart. So God does get angry. Point number 4 this evening comes out of James chapter 3 and verse 8. The tongue is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. You know, Satan is just waiting for us to slip up in our speech. He just waits for us to slip up. We know that evil comes in our minds quite often. You know, it is the world that tells us if someone wrongs us, then we need to return the favor. We need to return that favor. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. We'll read a few verses there in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 verse 17. The Bible reads, "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men." Now I want us to go back down a few verses to verse 19. Verse 19 through 21 now. "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, let us make sure that more good comes out of our mouth and less bad. You know, whether we like it or not, we always need to be good examples in our speech and in our actions. You know, people need to see our light shine. We are human, and we aren't always going to say things right all the time. But we can learn from our mistakes. We can learn from our mistakes. In Psalm 140 and verses 1 through 3, Psalm 140, verses 1 through 3. Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who devise evil things in their hearts. They continually stir up wars. Verse 3. They sharpen their tongues as a serpent. Poison of a viper is under their lips. What about those we associate with? What if others see that they know if they're using bad language or if they are telling bad jokes? You know, we could be guilty by association, and we have to be careful with that. We need to choose our friends wisely. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, the Bible reads, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." So let us be watchful of who we are around. And just because we aren't saying the bad jokes or using the bad language doesn't mean we are innocent. You know, we may have to take a stand someday. We may have to take a stand. You know, and ask that person to not do that when we are around. So yes, our lips are full of deadly poison, but we can overcome those things. We can overcome by goodness. So a good thing that we must do is think before we speak. You know, think before we speak. You know, and we've heard that saying, we've heard this one: if you don't have something nice to say, then we shouldn't say anything at all. The fifth thing I might want to mention this evening comes out of James chapter 3, and I put verses 9 and 10 together here. We bless our Lord and Father and curse men. You know, with our lips we sing praises to God. We thank the Lord for all He has done for us. You know, we are good when it comes to blessing God, but we can't deal with men. You know, it's bad when you hear others talk in a negative way about their friends or coworkers or anyone at that. I'm sure that we have all talked about someone to someone else, and that is not the right way to handle things. In James chapter 4, verse 11, James chapter 4 and verse 11, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it." We know that we are not the judge of the law, so we must not ever put ourselves as judges of the law. God is our judge. We must do more blessing than cursing. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 4. The Bible reads, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. For this we shall be forever grateful that He does all these things. We have much to be thankful for, and never forget our benefits at the end of this life if we are found faithful." We cannot forget those benefits. We can lose sight of our benefits if we get caught up in worldly pleasures. We must strive to bring more souls to the kingdom, and we must do that with our mouth, with our lips. That is a good thing that we must do so the church can be edified, so we can build it up. We can be effective in our daily walk by studying our Bibles, learning more about God's will for us each and every day. We need to pray for each other, and we talked about that this morning in Rick's lesson this morning. It's good to pray for each other, pray for one another. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, James chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible reads, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." To be effective, we must live righteously. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, the Bible reads, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." We must be encouragers and not discouragers. This evening, the lesson is yours. If you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a Christian and you've struggled in your daily walk, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it made known as we stand and sing the invitation song.